Okay, we're back on the record, our May 14th Kitsap County Planning Commission meeting, and we will now move into our work study on the timber harvest code update. We have Scott Diener at the table, and can you introduce your team there?
Absolutely. So my name is Scott Diener. I'm the manager of development services and engineering for, is this picking up well enough? Okay. The manager for development services and engineering for Kitsap County Department of Community Development. And to my right is Steve Heacock. He's a senior planner for development services and engineering, or what we call DS&E. We were also hoping that Eileen Nichols with DNR would be here tonight. I think we all thought that the earlier public hearing would go a little bit longer, and so we expect her to roll in at any time, but we can go ahead and get started without her.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm just going to turn it over to you unless anyone has any early questions for these folks.
Okay. Well, so the plan is tonight is to go through a brief PowerPoint presentation. I've got a few slides, and then it's sort of at the will of the Planning Commission what they want to do after in terms of code review. So Kitsap County has been talking for many years with the Department of Natural Resources about a transfer of jurisdiction. We began this discussion probably 7 years ago or so, and then the recession came, and it was put away. And then I would say about, maybe not quite 2 years ago, Commissioner Gelder had a meeting with the Commissioner for Department of Natural Resources, and they both talked about where this was, and it was understood by Commissioner Gelder that we would get started on this process again. And so it's taken some time to get where we are, but we finally have landed on a draft set of code before the Planning Commission. The transfer of jurisdiction is something that's essentially called out in RCW. Oh, I'd like to take a moment and have Eileen introduce herself. We're just getting started.
Hi, I'm Eileen Nichols. I'm the Forest Practice Forester out here in Kitsap County with the Department of Natural Resources.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the transfer of jurisdiction is a process that allows local jurisdictions to assume certain regulatory authority over Class 4 general forest permit activities. And that's really all that we're talking about with this effort. It's authorized by RCW 7609-240. It is subject to a rather rigid DNR and Department of Ecology review, mostly DNR. They take a look at all of our development code to ensure that it is robust enough that if the administration of these permits were turned over to a jurisdiction, that those supporting development code have everything in place that's needed. And I'll go through that in a little bit. Essentially what we're trying to do is eliminate the need, and we've had the development community actually really kind of get behind this most recently, but this program would eliminate the need for an applicant to also visit the Department of Natural Resource for an additional permit, a conversion permit, which is a permit cost and time and other expenses on top of what Kitsap County DCD already would levy for that permit. And there's a slide that will kind of elaborate this. But to give you an example of the kinds of permits we're talking about, a conversion permit is something that you might see before a piece of property is cleared for a subdivision. So somebody would come in for a conversion permit, clear the land, and then place homes on it. That's probably the best example. But another example, a good example that we've used, is Harrison Hospital for their development and their expansion plans. They came in for a conversion permit and cleared some of the stands where they're doing some of their development now. So those are the kinds of activities that we typically see with these conversion. A conversion option permit is something where there is a thinning of trees, about 50-60% thinning of trees, but they would like to reserve the right to develop that property for a future use. And in some cases, as we've received in testimony, that use may not be fully understood yet. So when we first broadcast that we were doing this and a set of code, there was a lot of confusion about what we were doing. And it's partly, I think, because of the structure of these classes of permits. There's class 1, 2, 3, 4, but there's two class 4s. And we are really only considering the class 4 general forest permit activities, not the class 4 special permit activities, which is where you hear about some of the concerns with herbicide application and herbicide sprays. I think we'll see that there's a lot of testimony received about concerns about class 4 special activities, but that's not what Kitsap County is doing, and DNR will continue to own that. This is a slide that's probably most illustrative of the current process and the proposed state, the desired state. So today, somebody would come in for a land use approval, let's say a subdivision, and they would also have a State Environmental Policy Act determination made at the time of that subdivision application. We would approve that, and then they would move on to their site development activity permit to grade the site and clear the site. We would give them an approval letter for that conversion logging activity, and they would take that to DNR and Enumclaw, and they would receive a permit. I understand that some people actually go to DNR, but it can also be done electronically. And there's also an additional $1,500 fee that they pay to the Department of Natural Resources. And then they come back to DCD, and we issue approval for the project. The transfer of jurisdiction and the revised code that you have in front of you would essentially remove DNR from the process, so somebody would come in for that land use approval, they would get a grading permit, and we would approve their clearing activities, and they can continue on with the project. Kitsap County is one of the few remaining jurisdictions in Western Washington to have adopted this. There are a few other jurisdictions that haven't, I understand, and I think as you move further east, there may be even more. So I'd like to talk about elements of the program so far, and the first thing I'd like to talk about is outreach. We sent out draft code and notices that we were beginning this in late December of last year. We sent it out to everybody that has signed up for our listserv for Gov Delivery, it's called. That includes many of our development community, but we also added some email addresses to that with the hope that people would either engage with us, or if they didn't want to, they could deactivate themselves from that listserv list. But it includes the development sector, arborists, and some of the major timber landowners. And we tried to get everybody. We may not have gotten everybody that would have liked to have been noticed, but we tried to be as broad in that distribution as possible. We met with the Kitsap Environmental Coalition because they had concerns about what this was or was not going to be doing. We met with the Kingston Citizen Advisory Group. We met with the Suquamish Citizen Advisory Group. We met with the Manchester Citizen Advisory Group and the Central Kitsap Community Council as well. At all of these meetings, we included the code availability, a fact sheet, and contact information. And I do have that information at the back. There's a fact sheet as well as contact information available at the back of the room. The initial response for when we sent this out was for DCD to slow down. I think people felt that we were becoming less transparent because of what they saw in the draft code, and they wanted to make sure that we were going to do this right and not just speed through a process. We, at each one of these CAC meetings, we showed our PowerPoint slides, and we also mentioned there was a fact sheet and a we also reviewed the Department of Natural Resources transfer of jurisdiction worksheet, and I'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We got a good amount of comments, I think, for this, and we advised that there was also a process improvement that was going to be tied to this. One of the probably most common comments we got was people would like to be more aware of what's going on. In one of the CAC meetings, there wasn't so much concern about what we were doing. I think there was general support for that. There was testimony from people who were concerned about or who had experiences not understanding what had happened nearby their property and only learned about it when some trees were coming down or their road was suddenly accessed by trucks, heavy trucks. So people shared those stories with us and said it would be really great if there was a way for us to be noticed about these things, even though they could be considered type 1 projects in Kitsap County's code. So we took that to heart, and you'll see that in the draft code. We received 39 comments. We got comments from the Suquamish Tribe, the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, Departments of Fish and Wildlife, and an association representing the timber landowners. I think it's the Washington Association of Forest Landowners.
Yeah.
Something like that. We accepted approximately 18 of those comments. Many of them, again, were similar comments. Most of them centered around notice, but we had some technical comments. But the key takeaway there was that there was a greater desire for transparency. So that slide just shows comments that were received. And here's the comment themes. There was a lot of concern about what's being proposed, and I've kind of talked about that. People were not sure what we were doing or what we weren't doing. They wanted greater awareness. We had comments from agencies and the tribe that they wanted to ensure this code made sure that their tribal resources were not going to be impacted and that there was a process to address those resources if they were encountered on site. We had one comment, and you've got that paper, which wanted more of a forestry science approach to replanting of trees, more of a multi-species approach, which was really kind of above the scope or beyond the scope of what we're trying to do here, but certainly something that Kitsap County could encourage in its conditions. And then there was a number of comments that were more technical in nature, and you saw those as well. So those comments informed on certain key code changes, is what we're calling those. We made sure to include reference to the appropriate Washington Administrative Code. We also made sure that forest access was included in the permitting process and included in definitions where appropriate. We used definitions from the state code to make sure that we weren't getting crosswise with ourselves in the state. You'll see that code establishes a greater, I think, presence by our agencies for both review and field visits and including tribal staff. And then also we included the WAC that references cultural resources notification and review, which DNR then I think resumes that portion of ownership of that permit. We also, and this I think is really probably what got many people confused, Title 21 is the administrative engine for all of our development code. That's where the processing is housed. And in all of our development code, except for Title 18 and in particular 1816, that's been removed. So our shoreline management program, our shoreline management code, or critical areas ordinance, has all of the administrative responsibilities housed in Title 21. And so I think when people saw that we were eliminating it from Chapter 1816, they assumed that this transparency was going away. Well, the message there is that transparency is maintained by virtue of its requirement existing in Title 21. And you'll see that in the code as well. The draft code also has a policy consideration. Currently, the draft code has the board's role in lifting of a moratorium, which we don't see. I don't know if I've ever seen the board involved in a moratorium lift. But what we've decided to do, because we do allow it, or code would allow it, is to have the hearing examiner have that role to lift the moratorium. You also would have noticed that in the draft code there is code compliance language that's mirrored from Title 21. I think it's identical, and essentially that code compliance language suggests that if there is a code compliance issue on a particular piece of property, then any subsequent permits related to that code compliance may be held off until that code compliance is taken care of. And then we strengthened the noticing for all of our Class 4 general permit activities. We do an 800-foot notice, I think you know. That's well beyond what most jurisdictions in the state certainly requires. So there's also some elements that are kind of behind the scenes, and we haven't gotten those underway. We're really kind of waiting to see how this meeting informs on moving forward with this code before we do that. But it involves a process review of how we are managing both the permit activity and the activity as it's occurring on the ground. So one of the things that we would like to do is to make sure that we have a better presence with those who want to clear their property, both before, during, and after. And we think that will be helpful for those who really are not as familiar with navigating Kitsap County's morass of code and responsibilities. And we are hoping to use our inspector staff to do that. Some of those guys that we work with in the inspector staff are already qualified to do some of this to begin with. We just need to tighten up some of the training and get them on board with that. And then we would like to take a look at the permitting process and see what we can do to improve that permit process. Is there a way to look at merging some permit types so that you're not having to file for a couple of applications? We think that there's always room for improvement with our permit processes, and so this will be one of those that we look at. And the goal is to make this experience by the neighbors, the users, the applicant a little less stressful than it currently is. So our next steps really are to take a look at our comments, our code, and decide what we want to do next. And I'm looking for guidance from the Planning Commission. Do you have any questions for any of us? So let me just clarify that I'm the procedural person. Steve is our technical expert for Kitsap County, DCD. And then Eileen she knows everything.
Questions?
Eileen knows everything. Yeah,
exactly. Mike?
Can you give a rough estimate of the four different classes, the percentages among 1, 2, 3, and 4? And roughly in Kitsap County, maybe in the past year or a certain period, how many permits have been issued by the state agency in those four classifications?
Yeah. We probably can't do the 1 through 3.
Yeah.
So, right. Four, it's DNR is right. 1, 2, 3, and 4 specials. So I think I do about 200 and around 200, a little more, a little less each year on those four types of permits.
Okay.
I think that conversion option harvest permits, typically we're pre-approving a timber harvest for the purposes of future development potential. But then, again, those kinds of permits are guided by meeting all county code requirements. So all critical areas are protected, all components of slope review, et cetera, and including the stormwater review, which is the component that makes it difficult to allow a landowner to do 100% harvest on a particular stand and then replant. We certainly have permits where we've allowed, 65 to 70% of a harvest of a tree stand. But typically those tree stands are, monocrop Douglas fir that if you replanted them with Douglas fir again, those particular stands the trees wouldn't survive if we had them totally shaded. So we have those situations where conversion option harvest plans that come in, some of them do get replanted. And so I'd say that, the conversion option harvest plans, we probably have 15 to 20 of those per year.
Okay.
And the typical size is a 5 to 10 acre parcel in typical.
Jim?
Since we have a representative from DNR here, I guess I'd be interested in hearing her perspective on how what the Department of Natural Resources thinking is with regard to this proposal.
So the Department of Natural Resources supports counties and cities taking over the jurisdiction of Class 4 generals. And the reason is it starts with the county or city. They have to follow all of their regulations. And then it's really because of a WAC that it has to come through the Department of Natural Resources because we still have jurisdiction. By doing this, then it stops that process. And what occurs is because it does go through the Department of Natural Resources, if somebody has a concern or a complaint, sometimes, a lot of times they go to the county first, but they'll call us and then they'll want us to enforce something. And we really don't have any enforcement jurisdiction over those permits because all the restrictions or the requirements are the county's. So we really were happy to be done with it. And we don't really like that people have to go through all the permitting process through the county or city, and then they have to send an application to us with $1,500. And we really don't do anything except process it, and they have to wait 2 weeks. I mean, we do a paper review of it and make sure that all our concerns are met on the permit. And so a lot of times that'll be calling Steve and asking questions about some slope stability or streams. But even then, the buffers and the jurisdiction are all the county or city's responsibilities.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's no level of additional substantive review that will be lost by transitioning this over to the county entirely? Huh?
Correct.
Okay. Other questions? Shelley.
Can you clarify how SEPA applies to these permits?
Oh yeah. In the conversion logging permits, SEPA has already been done in the related land use action. So we've already applied the SEPA procedure. What we typically do in a conversion package that is sent prepared and sent to the DNR in the current state is that we also provide the original SEPA decision for that particular project. That's part of the requirement, is that there's SEPA that is reviewed, if you will, by DNR. But those kinds of projects, these kinds of projects have already gone through the SEPA review. There's been public comment. They've been vetted through a site development activity permit. All of those particular actions have appeals, and so all of that has been addressed already. So we feel very solid that, you know, the SEPA procedures are all met, and in fact that these conversion logging permits just have this just more of a really a more of a formality in the fact that, as Eileen stated, the WAC, the Washington Administrative Code, requires that it's logging. You know, it's logging on a property that's over 2 acres, that is over 5,000 board feet, and is for converting purposes through our through the local jurisdiction. So,
so the forest, I haven't looked at these in years, but. So the forest regulations, the DNR regulations, the county won't, that apply to other types of permits, the county won't be in the situation of enforcing those, like replanting.
Oh, right, yeah.
And things like that.
Yes. So anything that is currently a permit application, as Mike was saying earlier, the class 1, 2, and 3 permits that typically are applied applied for by forest owners are still the process. We're not changing that at all. And the, again, as Scott has said, the Class 4 special permits also are managed by the DNR. That will not change. Yeah.
Steve, where in the code do you find the kind of the definitions or the guardrails for these different classes of permits? Is there a
well, in Title 18, that our code sightings and definitions are found in Title 18. One of the other things that we had decided to do that was a kind of above and beyond just this issue with Class 4 conversion logging permits, the Class 4 generals, is that we wanted to make sure that all the definitions and all the references to RCWs and the Washington Administrative Code were correct, because there were some codes that had changed. And so some of the things you'll see in the body of our recommendations do make those corrections. We did that just because it seemed like the right time to deal with, you know, definitions, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah, and yeah. Just in looking in 030 here, I'm not seeing definitions for what is a Class 1, what is a Class 2, what is a Class 3, what is a Class 4. And I think just in approaching the public with this, you know, if you're not immersed in this all the time, I think it'd be helpful to have some sort of a slide or a graphic that kind of gives a sense of where the Class 4 general fits in the overall scheme of permitting for ports. Yeah.
I can throw that up right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. But we could, provide that for clarifying purposes. Maybe there's a way to move that light a little. Oh, yeah, that's better.
So, do you have a code citation for where this is found? But we don't have it set out in the Kitsap County code.
No,
incorporation by reference.
No, in 18.16.020 there is reference to class 2, 3, and 4 specials,
mm-hmm.
And that those are subject to another government entity. But I think what you're suggesting is that there be a reference to the RCW perhaps for.
Or just in the materials that we're making available to the public as this travels through the process, to have this, this just kind of screams for a slide, that would a little graphic or something that would break out these different classes and kind of show we're, this is a fairly targeted change here,
mm-hmm.
And I think that there may be a wider perception that it's going to be a bigger thing than what's being proposed, so. I think that would be helpful. I know, Mike, you had a question.
Are the tribes currently involved in site visits, or is this a policy change?
No, they are. I'll let Steve speak to that.
Yeah, yes, that's a really good question. The tribes and Department of Ecology, Department of Fish and Wildlife are invited. They have the tribes have staff people that are subject matter experts in relation to cultural trees. And also help with stream typing. So each site visit that's performed, and this would be for a county conversion option harvest plan, if there's a stream on the property and there's a question about the stream typing, that is done in that review procedure. So we're partners with Department of Natural Resources in reaching out and inviting those people to those site visits.
Okay, so as you mentioned in your presentation, the language is just a clarification of existing procedures.
Yes.
Okay.
Other questions? Okay. Next steps, Scott? Or?
Well, I suspect there's more than a couple people behind me tonight.
Yeah.
And we may want to maybe engage some of those people before we decide whether a public hearing or another work study is appropriate. So I think it might remain to be seen. I know that there was some additional testimony that was a follow-on to the staff report that had concerns, and that's from one of the major timber landowners in the area. So I think there is some additional discussion that's needed. What I would suggest is that we plan on an additional work study. And then I think it's also worth noting that we have, when you looked at the code, I hope it was clear that those areas that were highlighted in yellow were changes that were made as a result of comments received. There may be concerns about some of those comments now by some of the people who provided testimony or comments. And also, we've put these changes to DNR, Carla
Fossberg,
to ask if DNR had any concerns about these. We don't know that they will. We think that they are helpful and they're clarifying in nature. We haven't heard back. It's possible that there could be a couple more tweaks that are needed.
Well, as you know, we do have a number of people here tonight. I did see a few hands raised during the presentation that we're not really set up for a question answer formally here with the Planning Commission tonight. We could certainly, the public hearing is yet to come, but given the speedy nature of our agenda this evening, maybe there might be a little bit of time for some informal conversation with staff and some of the folks that are here.
Sure. Yeah. However you'd like to manage that.
Mike?
Think back to our wireless code, and you and I were in agreement. I think the commission was too, about stakeholder meetings and that type of thing. So that would be helpful. And then for me too, it's helpful if we're just, counties are the administrative arm of state agencies as well. So if we're taking over an administrative function and processing the permit, there's a benefit to expediting permits, saving funds, et cetera. You talked about the two-week period and the application, et cetera. That's a benefit, but it would be helpful to me when I get documents back showing, is this, because we're bringing this forward, is this a policy change versus procedure? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing if this were strictly procedural changes, there wouldn't be as many concerns. But I did read through all the testimony that's been submitted so far, and there's a lot of concern from environmental groups and from landowners, too, about where they're going to be when this is over. So I think as much as possible, and I think Kitsap County is the best. I'll probably get hate mail now from the cities, but I think our department does very well in engaging stakeholders and sometimes long processes like the comp plan, 14 months. But if you guys would obviously commit to spend your time and as much as possible, I think you've done that already with the initial comments you got, trying to incorporate that into the document
right.
that we have here today. But obviously take that back to the different, I hate to use the word Commissioner Newman, stakeholder groups, but get it back to the public and get more input from them before it comes back to us.
Exactly. In looking at just the title of our work study tonight, Timber Harvest Code Updated, that's a big, broad paintbrush that we throw out there with what is really a very targeted, focused code amendment. So, maybe just a little bit of clarification on that, where this fits into the overall framework, and kind of the impacts that it will and will not have, I think would be a good thing, because there seems to be some misperception about the scope.
Sure.
Here,
we've been talking about this a little bit, and what makes this kind of process difficult sometimes is when you get comments and then those comments inform on other comments, and maybe those earlier comments weren't necessarily appropriate, and so you get different views of those comments and whether they're legitimate or even appropriate. And so what we've been talking about doing is having one large stakeholder meeting with the agencies and the tribe and the landowners and the users in the room at the same time, so that we can either agree to disagree, or we've come forward with a unified code. So that's something that we'll be talking about doing as well.
And I would hope you'd include everybody that's already provided written comment, in that stakeholder invitation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we look forward to having this return.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
With that, administrative update, Mr. Bolger.
This is going to be boring compared to what we just did.
Well, geez, Scott didn't realize it was a live mic, apparently. Yeah, good evening, commissioners. My name is Jim Bolger. I'm the Assistant Director for the Department of Community Development, and I want to thank you for your feedback and direction on the Timber Harvest Code update work that we're going forward with. Just a couple of quick administrative updates. One is just to let the Planning Commission know, because we said we would keep you informed along the way, that the board at their last night regular meeting held a hearing on the wireless communication facility code that we had moved forward, and that was from the time that the Planning Commission had had an opportunity to develop their recommendation. We did hold some technical meetings with some of the stakeholders. I understand there were only a couple of commenters. I wasn't actually there, and they were from providers. Kind of talking about some of the issues that have been raised in the past. The other item that I wanted to make sure you were all aware of and should have all been notified of is that is next Wednesday from 9:30 to 10:30. Department has its monthly update with the Board of County Commissioners, and in that update, we've included the Planning Commission to go over the Planning Commission report that you all adopted, I believe, at your last meeting, and so I hope that's all on your calendars. We'll be meeting next door in the commissioner's conference room, and I think we have 20 to 30 minutes set aside for that on their agenda. They do have an hour briefing from the Department of Administrative Services preceding that, where they're doing like a six-year budget forecasting exercise. Sometimes the board will finish up their briefing sooner than anticipated, and so they try and call the next group in, so if you could be here a little before 9:30, that would probably be worthwhile. So,
Mr. Bolger, could you send an email out to put that on everyone's calendar?
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll get that out first thing in the morning. So, that's all I have.
Any questions? Okay. Now we come to the for the good of the order portion, and I have just an idea to throw out to folks on a number of other commissions and boards that I've sat on. There's a general public comment period, sometimes very time limited, 15 minutes, but a time where the public can come to talk to the commission about things that aren't on the agenda or just general concerns. And I was just wondering if there's any interest in adding that to our agenda. We seem to move through pretty quickly, and I just want to open that up for discussion. Mr. Shattuck.
I know we use that in the Central Kitsap Community Council, and we found that it was very helpful in helping target future issues to look at and help direct our work. So I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Any other? I see nods. Any other comments?
A fantastic idea.
Okay. I guess we would need a motion to add that to our standing agenda.
Well, different jurisdictions do it differently, right? Some have it at the beginning of the meeting, some at the end, some do both. And I think it's helpful if you obviously as chairperson, you'd have to guide that and explain to people that you're welcome to speak at the beginning, but you might want to reserve your comments to the public hearing portion, et cetera.
Yeah, and certainly that requires, a comment at every meeting about how that's going to be structured and incorporated, that we would have general comment on items not on the agenda at the beginning of the meeting, and that specific comments on agenda items, public hearings, would be reserved till that time. We'll have two sign-up sheets.
And to let people know that if they comment generally, it won't be part of the record necessarily anything specific.
I have to pull out my old hearing examiner admonitions for the general public on that.
Would you prefer that it be automatic, or I'm thinking, well, let me make a motion. I move to authorize the chairperson to include public comment in regular and special commission meetings. Then we can discuss it.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
So I'm just thinking during the course of the year, there might be, if you have a full agenda, or may not be appropriate to have it, or give some leeway or approval to the chairperson to decide. Okay. And then the commission itself could obviously overrule that. If, for example, if I were your chairperson and a tyrant, you could at the meeting say, well, I'm sorry, you're out of order, and and then pass a motion at that particular meeting and open up public.
Right, to remove it from the agenda or to go forward with
right,
it.
Right, but I think it'd be helpful to trust the chairperson, trust you to decide.
Okay. That sounds reasonable. All right. All those in favor of adding this, raise your hand. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Can
right.
we start tonight? Do we have time? I know we have some people.
Sure.
Here.
Sure. We could take 10 or 15 minutes if there's folks that want to be heard tonight. Come forward.
I'm going to draw a line here. And I'm going to ask after your testimony if you could just, you can testify first, but just make sure you sign in.
Great. Good evening. My name is David Overton. I represent a fourth and fifth generation timber partnership in the county. We've been operating in Washington State since 1892. We're very excited about Kitsap County opening up this process to talk about conversion harvest options. But I'd like to make just two points for your consideration as this goes forward. One, most people who are doing this don't have a background in harvesting timber. So if the staff is truly going to take this on away from a department who is solely focused on growing and harvesting and being stewards of forest land, the county will have to invest in staff training beyond its current forester who manages parkland to help advise folks, because folks may not have a background in going through the other options. They may inherit timberland and show up at the county's doorstep and say, we want an option to harvest this, because truly this type of option was an option. It was not an intent to convert. It gives you a way of getting around a 10-year moratorium. So you can't assume that folks that are submitting these permits will harvest. It's allowing them to do estate planning or gifting or other things like that. So there are other considerations, and it is not a pre-development activity. It can be. It gives you the option to make sure that you're in compliance with county code to avoid the moratorium. The other concern I have is the fee structure. DNR has a very transparent fee structure. I would encourage you, in the same way that you're referencing the state WAC and the definitions of the state, to reference DNR's fee structure, so that as more and more county staff are touching this permit or reaching out, that it doesn't become unobtainable for small forest landowners who may be converting a portion, one of many parcels, and doing that so that they can pay gift taxes. And if you make it, if you assume that this is just a path for someone building a home, you may be missing who some of the targets are. And we don't want to encourage conversion by having a high fee structure or not really understanding the process of this truly being an option for folks. Rather than just assuming this is someone who is going to build a house and that's why they're getting this permit. But I'm excited. I think your staff's doing a great job on outreach, and I would encourage a slow, deliberate process. It doesn't seem like there is any short timeline to get this done, but I'm not opposed to it. We do them every once in a while, but we've done them before, so I feel like we have a different understanding. There's another group called there's a small forest landowner office that DNR staffs, and then there's the Washington Forest Protection Association that provided comment. Then there is a local chapter for the Washington Farm Forestry Association, and they are a small landowner organization that I would encourage you to reach out to. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, please sign in before you. I encourage you also to send your comments in electronically or in writing as well. You have some specific ideas.
Hi, I'm Mark Maurer from Euland Tree Farm. I just have a few comments. One is, you've got to be really careful. You're dealing with two separate things here, and they're kind of meshing them together, but you need to keep them as separate things. One is the Class 4 general conversion. You get the SDAP permit. And Scott was absolutely right about how long it takes to get through that process. But the county has gone through SEPA and everything on that. That's a no-brainer. The second issue, and the one I'm more concerned about, my comments are related to that, are in your packet, are tied to the changes in the conversion option harvest permit process and code. You got to think, if you remember, these are still forestry situations. It's not a development situation. And so if you put development codes associated with forestry, you can find yourself having to put silt fences around a 6 to 10 acre clear cut in order to meet county code. And so I encourage you to look at my specific comments that I wrote in there and think about, is this a development or is this a forestry operation? Because for us, we have a lot of land in the city of Bremerton as well as the county. We use conversion option harvest to be able to preserve our opportunity to develop in the future, because we haven't figured out what we're going to do or if we're going to do it. But the land stays in forestry. So I encourage you to do that. And then the second thing is, I'd really encourage, since staff has met with the environmental community to make sure there's no confusion there, has met with the community in general through your different councils, that you meet separately with the timber owners themselves to make sure we're on board and we clearly understand where they're coming from and we can share our concerns about, hey, if you put this particular thing in here, do you realize that you're requiring us to follow some development standards and you're really not achieving what you want to achieve, but you're costing a lot more time and effort and it's really not going to gain anything. Those are the conversations you can have as a small group that you can't have with the tribe and government agencies and the environmental community there. Then pull everyone together now that we all kind of are on the same page and we can have an intelligent conversation as a community to help improve the conversion option harvest process. Thank you.
Thank you. Please sign in before you go. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment, general public comment, and if there's nothing else for the good of the order, we'll adjourn.